U.S. Fish and Wildlife records show that for all of 2012, Alaska Native hunters in coastal communities across the state reported a total harvest of 1,281 sea otters. 952 of those were from southeast, including Yakutat. So far, this year's harvest is at least 1,380 statewide. That includes 1,008 from southeast this year so far. The agency expects the number to grow by the end of the year, since a lot of the harvest takes place in the fall.
This year is one of the biggest years that we have on record. Well, it's actually the biggest year of harvest.
Biologist Brad Benter runs the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's marking and tagging program for sea otters in Alaska.
Every community in Alaska where Alaska Natives live and sea otters exist, we have a representative tagger or several, and even in some villages where there are no sea otters, we have taggers. And so when somebody harvests a sea otter, they will go to the tagger in the nearest community, and you know, they will get their animal, what we call it, tagged, sealed. Scientific harvest information is also collected for each animal on location, sex, age, other animals present. We get a tooth to try to get an age of the animal. And when I say age, the hunter just says if he thinks it's a pup, a subadult, or adult.
Fish and Wildlife's harvest numbers do not reflect unreported or illegal kills by non-natives. Under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, sea otters may only be hunted by coastal Alaska natives. There's no set season, bag limit, or permit needed, but hunters are required to report their kills. There have been ups and downs depending on the community, but the overall harvest has been on the increase in at least the past half decade. U.S. Fish and Wildlife biologist Verena Gill thinks there are various factors that have contributed to that.
You know, the most obvious one as a biologist is that the population is increasing in southeast Alaska and in south central Alaska.
For instance, between 2002 and 2011, the number of southeast otters increased from about 11,000 to around 26,000 animals. That's according to the agency's latest population assessment, which is expected to be finalized soon. According to Gill, the data provided by hunters is valuable for otter research and management.
I'm very, very appreciative to the hunters that get their animals tagged, because we get all this information that helps us make a lot of management decisions. It also helps us track, you know, a lot of things like health and disease of sea otters in the nearshore ecosystem, too, because we often get hunters call us up and tell us about things that they've seen that are important as far as algal blooms and what that's doing to the sea otters or the clams. And so we really appreciate all of the effort they put into reporting these animals and the information we get out of that. That will allow us to build these models to help better manage this trust species.
The fur trade wiped out the southeast sea otter population by the early 20th century. Today's otters are descended from about 400 animals, which the state reintroduced to the region in the 1960s. The otter's rapid population growth and voracious appetite for shellfish has been a major concern for commercial crabbers, dive fishermen, and fishery managers who blame the animals for a loss of productive fishing grounds. That's prompted efforts to encourage more hunting. According to Gill, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the University of Alaska are working together to assess how much harvest is sustainable.
We're going to begin a project here to look at sustainability using the very data that the hunters provide Brad's marking and tagging program. You know, we get the animals aged by their teeth, so we can tell how old they are, and then looking at the age and the sex and the location, and then creating a model to really look at sustainability, not just within southeast Alaska, but smaller areas, you know, because population varies within a large area, too. And so we're still looking at that question.
A sustainable harvest is extremely important to us.
Lee Katinger is Chief Operating Officer for the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. The institute administers the regional Native Corporation's cultural and educational programs, which includes the use of otter hides.
What we have been working very closely with Fish and Wildlife Service on is what is that potential biological removal rate, and we're far from that, but it's something that we are working closely with them. And we are ensuring that the harvest that we have will be sustainable and will be able to continue in the long term.
A few years ago, the Institute started offering classes in the native art of skin sewing. At first, it focused on seal skin moccasins.
And it was out of those classes that we had many people that had an interest in working with sea otter. They just didn't have the skills passed down to them. They weren't aware how to do it so much, and there was significant questions out there about whether or not they even could do it and what they could or could not make.
The Institute is a registered agent with Fish and Wildlife, which means it can purchase otter skins from Native people for its programs. Kiedinger says each student in the class is provided with a tanned hide, and there has been a lot of participation across the region.
Every class that we've had has filled and had a waiting list in each community that we've gone to. So it's extremely popular. I know when we offered the class here in Juneau, 15 slots the first day, we had 54 applications that were submitted, people that were highly interested, and we were overwhelmed by the interest. And this was the exact same in rural communities as well. Extremely popular, and classes were filled.
The Institute has been promoting the development of a cottage skin sewing industry for Native craftspeople. Meanwhile, federal officials say they are still working to clarify rules on the sale of sea otter handicrafts and clothing outside the Native community. That's been an ongoing concern for Native hunters and artisans who say regulatory language and enforcement actions have discouraged their use of the animals. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.